ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் டிவைன் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் ஹைலைட்ஸ் ஆஃப் உபனிஷத்ஸ். த டைட்டில் இஸ் சாந்தோக்கிய உபனிஷத், பிரசன்டட் பை சுவாமி ஜோதிர்மயானந்தா. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய்.
ஃப்ரம் தி ஆஷ்ரம் ஆஃப் அவர் ரெவியர்ட் குரு பூஜ்ய ஆத்மன் ஸ்ரீ சுவாமி ஜோதிர்மயானந்தி இன் மயாமி ஃப்ளோரிடா. சுவாமிஜி கண்டினியூஸ் வித் தி லெக்சர் சீரீஸ் ஆன் தி ஹைலைட்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி உபநிஷத். சுவாமிஜி வில் லெக்சர் ஆன் சாந்தோக்ய உபநிஷத். திஸ் இஸ் கிளாஸ் நம்பர் 25. அண்ட் நவ் பூஜ்ய ஆத்மன் ஸ்ரீ சுவாமி ஜோதிர்மயானந்தி.
ஓம் ஆப்யாயந்து மமங்கானி வாக் பிராணஹ சக்ஷு ஸ்ரோத்ரமதோ பலமிந்த்ரியாணி ச சர்வாணி சர்வம் பிரம்ம உபநிஷதம் மாஹம் பிரம்ம நிராகுர்யா மாமா பிரம்ம நிராகரோத் அநிராகரணமஸ்து அநிராகரணம் மேஸ்து ததாத்மனி நிரதேயே உபநிஷத்சு தர்மா தேமயி சந்து தேமயி சந்து. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. சாந்தோக்கிய உபநிஷத், wherein I'm giving you the highlights. So I have turned to the chapter 6, and the topic commences from the section 1. I've introduced this episode of Shvetaketu and his father Aruni. Aruni was son of Sage Uddalaka. So often his name comes Uddalaka Aruni. So Aruni had sent his son in his early age to have ancient style education. And when he returned at 24 years of age, he came with a kind of a arrogance within himself, the idea he knew more even than father or anybody. The school children have that type of arrogance. And the father surprised him with the question, "Do you know that knowing which all is known?" Of course, his mind wandered, and he couldn't find any answer. He said, No Lord." The father is referenced as Guru, and he was Guru as well. "Please give me that instruction, because Gurukul, the old style system, was not capable of giving me that type of instruction. When you know one branch of learning, you remain ignorant of another branch of learning. You can never boast, I know everything. So when you think of gathering knowledge, there is no end to it. No one can say, 'Oh, I know a lot.' You can say, 'I know everything,' that's impossible. But then, from a profounder point of view, while to the intellect there are so many things to be learned, to intuition, there is only one reality, the absolute, beyond time and space, that I have again and again given to you through a parable of blind men trying to study an elephant. And they study the elephant, touching the elephant all over. And they come in with different views. And all those views put together do not form the elephant. But a person with eyes simply looks up, sees the elephant in totality. This is the elephant. It's an allegorical. Similarly, there is a vision within you, potential. That's your real vision. If that vision were to become effective, then there is nothing but the absolute. Advaita. That Advaita is the real I am. Knowing that, all is known. By knowing the sun, you know all the illuminations of the sun. Yatha samya ekena mrita pindena sarvam minamayam vijnatam syat vacharambhanam vikaro namadheyam mrityakatyeva satyam. Father said, O Soumya, the gentle one, just as by knowing a clod of earth, you know all that is made up of the earth, of the clay. The differences that are there, they are only in names and forms. Clay is the only reality. Similes are being given. How can by knowing one thing, you know all? The fact is, there is only one reality. All that you are thinking of all as multiplicity of things, they are only a matter of names and forms. Make the gold into a ring shape, then call it a ring. Give to you on a special day, then not only the ring, but reminder of a special day. And so forth. But whether it's a ring or a necklace or anything, bangles or whatever, it's nothing but gold. In the same way, all your experiences, I think of your experiences, they are in three levels, they're called three lokas. In the sense level, all your practical experiences. Then you have emotions, feelings, that gives you a different world. And then you have at intellect level, different types of insight and knowledge. They give you a different type of experience. But all these experiences are happening in where? Consciousness. Consciousness is undergoing all these changes, just like the gold undergoes changes in the form of bangles, necklace, and rings and whatsoever. Or just as clay undergoes changes in the form of pots and glasses and different types of vessels, consciousness remains the same. Therefore, your attention should not be confined to knowing the different modifications, because they are endless. Your attention is to discover the sun, the reality. That's what simple way have been given in the scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All else shall be added unto you. Find God in this great supermarket of the world process. So many things are selling. And there is God also in it. Go and put your hand on God. This is what I want. Then the entire market belongs to him. I'm giving you a kind of crude illustration. This point needs to be understood in many ways, because it is very simple and yet very difficult. When you see your face in a mirror and you see changes occurring in your face, you will laugh and look at it, you look different. Frown and look at it, you look different. Stretch your ears. Mirror is the same. It is that mirror that has undergone all these modifications. Look at the mirror, and you are beyond all those modifications. Understand consciousness. Looking at consciousness is not ordinary. It's a matter of intuitional revelation. Just like you are dreaming, and someone would say, look at your bed where you are sleeping. You can't look from a dream level to your bed waking state. It's a matter of awakening. And yet the word will be used the same. Look. Wake up. Arise. But it will always figurative, mystical. Keeping that in view, let me give to you the way Chandogya has presented it. O Saumya, mind melts in prana, prana in effulgence, and that effulgence enters into Supreme Brahman. This is a very broad way to, if you study yourself, first your attention goes towards you being a jiva, individual soul. Even at this level of understanding, you have made a great stride. Because if you are a soul, you are not confined to a time, space, and bodily death will not hurt you at all. All things move away. As a soul, you go on coming back, led by your karmas. But not going into too much detail, but just to have the understanding how a person that has been so alive towards the time of departing, mind becomes involved with mind as if he is withdrawn into prana. Prana is that vital system within you. That when a person dies, that's what they say, prana has departed. So you have, your mind has melted into prana. And as prana departs, it melts into cosmic Hiranyagarbha, cosmic mind. That cosmic mind is described as effulgence. And cosmic mind melts into Brahman, the absolute. So all personalities, all jivas ultimately become blended with the absolute. All is rooted in that absolute known as Sat. Sat is existence, absolute. Existence in itself. That thou art. Tattvam asi. Now, the disciple asks, please explain me more, because it's not enough. O Soumya, just as bees gather honey, they go in a wide range of forest trees and gather nectar from countless flowers. But all that nectar turns into honey, in honey hive. When you look at the nectar or look at the honey or taste it, you cannot determine, cannot have a clear insight to which that taste belongs. Does it belong to the mango blossoms? Does it belong to some other blossoms? And there are countless. In honey, all the differences of nectar have blended, have become one. In the same way, if you were to experience Sat, all your experiences you have by your senses, you are gathering nectar from your senses. You are gathering different types of taste through your sentiments, through your intellectual function. But all these tastes that are of diverse types, they become absolutely one. Now, it is not, while describing, there is a defect in description. Descriptions are always limited. What is being said is, it is the honey, the real indestructible, homogeneous, absolute taste that has become refracted through different senses, mind, intellect. And if all these tastes were to be experienced in a profound way, it would imply having the experience of the Sat, absolute existence within you, existence in itself. That Sat is what you are, your essential nature. So if you are enjoying Sat, you are enjoying all the tastes of the world, which can be possible by for you, not just in one embodiment. You can't have any, a very little experience, but even through countless embodiments, you cannot come to the experience, I have tasted all. The world will be always bound. But if you realize Brahman, taste Brahman, tasted all. The Upanishad, in another context, describes this. All world experience is alpam, little. Experience of Brahman is bhuma, unconditioned. Your mind must gain that profound insight. And in that lies a subtle secret of real spiritual movement. As long as the mind holds on to the idea that your comfort, your joy, and your goal lies in the world, in the terms of various experiences, as long as your mind is confined to that type of view, you are in bondage. And you are in a predicament of moving away from one body to another, and that there is no end to it. Because worldly enjoyments have no end. And also, as you begin to enjoy the world, you move in a vicious circle. I give a simple illustration of a king who sees a laborer working hard, and he says, how wonderful. With all my kingdom, etc., I can't even digest food. And look at this laborer, he's so joyous. Led by karma, he becomes a laborer. Laborer in turn had looked at the king with that feeling, how wonderful. What a great karma he had done. And the laborer becomes a king. And the story repeats. It's called Vishak Circle. And in the, during the state of ignorance, all souls are trapped in a vicious circle. You experience certain things and you become disgusted. And you move into another direction. You go through a lot of experiences of vanity and deluded joy. But then you become frustrated and go back to the same that you had once rejected. But because by this time you don't remember how painful it was. So the cycle moves on in practical day-to-day world. If you are not practicing certain discipline in daily life, if you are not practicing integral yoga, you find that your mind goes through the same cycle. Now the scripture says, the guru says to his son Shvetketu, that when anyone goes into deep sleep, all the differences are lost. A tiger in deep sleep, a lion in sleep, a wolf in sleep, human beings, kings, ordinary laborers, soldiers, whomsoever, in sleep, even little creatures, butterflies, birds, in deep sleep, all differences are lost. And the experience is of existence, sat. But deep sleep is given as an illustration. You do not actually lose them. You have the string attached. It's just like described that a vessel containing ordinary water, and you put a little plastic cover on it, and then secured in that little vessel with a plastic cap, you put the vessel in the Ganges. During that time, the water inside the vessel becomes one with the water outside the vessel. All become like Ganges. But when you bring the vessel out, it retains its distinction. It is not the pure water. That's exactly that the way it happens. Each time you go to sleep, ego has put a cover. Ego is not there, but it has already created certain samskaras. So though you go closest to yourself, and because of it you become refreshed. And when you wake up, say, I knew nothing, and yet a sense of great joy. I slept so profoundly. I knew nothing. You say that with such pride. But can you imagine to say, I've lost everything. I own nothing. If the mind were to come to the grip of that state. Now, this is what I say, lost everything. That's the tamasic state of mental despair. But if you had a positive, enlightened state, nothing exists, nothing belongs to me. I am neither mind nor body, immortal self am I. It is this insight that must grow within you. This is the Sat, absolute existence, existence in itself. All things can be negated. But the negator cannot be negated. All things can be doubted, whether they exist or not. But the doubter can't doubt in relation to the doubter. In other words, there is something underlying all that cannot be negated. And that I have given you many details before, so I'm moving on. That's existence in itself. That's what you are. I am Sat. The affirmation of Sat should allow your mind to have an immense joy. Now turn your attention to every step that you take towards Sat is considered auspicious, joyous. So in Sanskrit literature, a path that is leading you to the Sat, to something great, called Sat Sanmarga. Association that will lead you to Sat is Satsanga. Thoughts that will elevate you towards self-realization are called Sat Vichar. Countless words that relate to Sat, and they are all glorious words. And Shvetketu said, please, O Lord, explain to me more. Very well, said Aruni. O Soumya, look at this big tree. If you hit at the base, a sap oozes out of the tree. But the tree is alive. If you hit at the middle of the tree anywhere, same sap will ooze. But in a while it will become all right. If you hit at the tender areas on the top, same thing will happen. the tree remains intact because the root sustains all this tree. Likewise, the root within you is I am that am I. Root within you is the Self, Satchidananda. But here again, there are two steps to understand this point. First step, immortality of the soul. Body undergoes changes. Situations and circumstances will create troubles for body and your present personality. Your present personality can be cut down, but the soul does not die. It continues to move from body to body led by karma. That having understood that the soul is perpetual, unaffected by time, come to another level. The soul of the soul, the reality of your soul, is absolute self. And that's what you are. And Aruni, then Shvetaketu said, "Oh Lord, it's wonderful, but please tell me more." And the father said to him, "Bring me one of those berries that drop from the banyan tree." And he brought one little round stuff. He says, "Break it." "All right, I have broken it." "What do you see in it?" "Little grains, little seeds." "Take one of those seeds. Break it." He smashes a seed. I say, "I see nothing." "That's what you call nothing," father said. "It's that subtle point, the subtle reality that gave rise to this entire banyan tree. Have faith, O Soumya. Your innermost reality is like that invisible potency. Not only it has given rise to your embodiment, the entire universe is sustained by it. That's the extension of this parable of the seed. A seed contains the potentiality of creating a banyan tree. But what does that imply? It implies millions of seeds will come out. And each seed will have the same potency. So imagine. One tiny seed, and if you break it, you find nothing in it. And out of that nothing, you can fill the earth with countless banyan trees. And the more the banyan trees, the more seeds. And so you can go on multiplying. You can fill the whole universe if the universe is fertile. If that can be understood, simple illustration, try to understand the majesty of that mystical nothing. And it is in that direction you need to have faith, because you cannot have a definite grasp. The mind and senses cannot catch it. So until you attain enlightenment, you have to simply have faith in it. Faith on the basis of the clear demonstration how much this little unknown, nothing in the seed creates a big tree. So how nothing within you that you are constantly ignoring holds the key to your enlightenment, to the highest attainment. And in fact, that absolute nothing is the Brahman. It is this point that Buddha emphasized so much that people develop kind of confusion about what the goal is. All is nothing. Big shunya, zero. Please explain to me more. And the father says, O Soumya,